Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to the study session of Mesa City Council for Monday, August 23rd, 2010. I would like to excuse Councilmember Richens, who's been delayed and should be here a little bit later. First item on the agenda is to go over tonight's regular City Council meeting agenda. So we'll begin with page 2, page 3, page 4.
A lot of parties.
Councilmember Finter.
On the item number 3N, I was just curious, does anybody know where that's actually going? It says 1910 South Gilbert, which I think is a big complex. Santa Fe. It's a new restaurant going in there. It's in District 2. I just wanted to have a chance to go over there and take a look at it, I think. So, or maybe I'm on the wrong one. Oh, no.
3N is District 4.
Well, it has 1910 South Gilbert Road. Maybe that's a mistake on the address.
Did you get the address wrong or the district wrong?
I believe that's on Gilbert Road, right across from, like, Einstein Bagels in that area, but it's on the west side of the street. I believe it's existing.
Einstein Bagels?
Right.
Never even knew
baseline.
There was one there.
Baseline in Gilbert.
Oh, maybe that's where it's at.
Down, it's baseline.
Right.
Yeah.
Between 60 and Baseline.
Oh, okay.
Is that right on the border?
Right.
Right on the west side of the road.
It's on the north.
West side of the road.
East side.
West side.
West part.
Baseline.
East side is District 2. West side is District 4.
Okay. There's an FYE record still there, and it's that old restaurant right by it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I was totally confused.
Have we straightened out that tilted kilt?
We're a little tilted.
Of all the different restaurants that are being,
we have
on that page.
As a matter of fact, on that page we have a Chinese restaurant, Mekong Palace. Well, I'm Vietnamese. I'm sorry. The Mekong River is mainly in Vietnam. We have a Mexican food restaurant. We have a Roma Cafe Ristorante, and a tilted kilt, a veritable plethora of international cuisine.
Yeah,
followed by bingo.
You know,
nothing more American than bingo.
Bingo and food? Bingo and noodles?
Page 5.
Mayor.
Yes,
we'll be
Mr. Brady.
Pulling off 5E. We need a
5 Echo.
We need to review that one again.
Okay, we are removing 5E.
Yes. Removing it from this agenda.
It'll show up on a future agenda.
Yes.
Anything else on page 5? Page 6? Page 7 and page 8. Mr. Wesley, are we satisfied? I don't want to beat this one to death, but are we satisfied that the questions that were raised on item 8A on that plat have been adequately addressed?
I believe so, Mayor. And Representative Bob, the applicant, is here this evening and could address any of those you may have in the either now or in the regular meeting. But they will be including that strip along Adobe. It is in the plat, and they will be including that in the CC&Rs for the long-term maintenance.
Okay.
The portion inside the plat to the east of that north-south street that's going in, for the most part, they're not disturbing anything east of that street at this time.
They're going to leave the trees and everything there.
Everything there, except towards the northeast corner, there is a small area that we're going to be clearing to use for some interim stormwater detention and equipment storage as they're doing the work, but it's a small area in that location.
Okay. You feel satisfied then that we're okay on that long term?
Yes.
Assuming that phase two, let's assume that phase two never gets platted, never gets built. We're still okay with that strip of land?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mayor, quick, just a follow up. Thank you. Is there anything that requires them to make sure their trees don't die during construction? Was there anything in any kind of agreement that they would continue to maintain their citrus? Their citrus looks pretty stressed out there. I just wondered.
It's interesting. There's a few citrus that have just died, mm-hmm. and they're really stressed. Others seem to be fairly healthy, and I was wondering the same thing. What kind of assurance do we have from the applicant that those will be replaced or
within phase one, the western portion, or in
phase one,
in the eastern portion? Their landscape plan shows those trees that they will be maintaining as far as the overall subdivision development. Anything within those that would die would need to be replaced as part of normal code enforcement action.
Okay. Would hope so.
What about the interim for the next phases? Are they just going to let them die and then plant new ones?
No, I hope not, because they don't have a plat on the next one. And I think it was very clear from the meetings with council members and with Everett that we assume that those
would stay particularly long.
Those would stay healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yes, and that's part of the reason, Mayor, for dividing it in two phases at this time, is so they can maintain that flood irrigation, the second part, until they're really ready to start developing over there.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
And I think they know they have a couple people in the area that will be very vigilant in watching those on a daily basis. Okay. As long as they understand that. And if they don't, you might want to remind them. Okay. All right. That concludes that agenda. We are now moving to review the agenda for Monday, August 30th, since we will not be having a study session this Thursday. Page 2. Page 3. Oh. Councilmember Higgins, sorry, back to page 2.
I have 2 questions.
Okay.
Item 3A, the fire truck simulator. I have never heard of a fire truck simulator.
That's simulator, not stimulator.
The fire truck training simulator. And I just wondered, is that a norm for big cities? Sounds like overkill, but what do I know? That's why.
Mr. Mayor, council members. Councilmember Higgins, there are quite a few of them around the country. So, and it's something that will save us a lot of money in the long run. Currently, what we do is we take our big trucks out and do driver training and stuff on the tracks. We'll still have a certain amount of that, but this will take the place of an awful lot of it. And we tend to, when we do that, it will break springs. It glazes over the brake drums and the brakes, and we use a lot of fuel and a lot of time to move those vehicles around out there. So it's a good thing for us.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay.
And I have a question on item 3C.
Go for it.
The new automated citizen online incident reporting system, which sounds like an amazing and awesome and a helpful thing. I just wondered, do you have like an estimate of how much staff time you're going to save, or, you know, is this a great customer service tool that people are just going to be happier? I mean,
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, yes. The online reporting system has really been in the works probably for the last 5 years. We've been trying to put something together for that. Recently, with our reduction on resources in our callback teleserve area, in a year, callback teleserve handles 16,000 calls. We're estimating that this online reporting system will take about 70% of those calls. What this will allow the citizen to do, it's actually a benefit for the citizen also, because we will set the protocols on what type of crimes, predominantly minor theft, where the citizen can go online, they'll be able to fill out their information, what was taken. That report will go into a queue where we will have, we'll staff it with probably one of our injured officers or modified duty officers. They'll go in the queue each day, they'll approve those reports, they'll automatically go into our RMS system, which we'll still be able to count as tracking our specific crimes. It'll all be mapped. Those cases will also go to a detective. So they're still going to get the service that they would normally in the flow of the report. What the benefit for the citizen is they'll get a case number automatically, and they'll get a copy of the report automatically once it's approved by an officer. So no more waiting for a copy of the report, no more waiting for your case number. You'll be able to get it as soon as that report is approved.
Vice Mayor.
Just curiosity then, how do we know the legitimacy of those online reports or phone-in reports? Or do we just have to assume that people are being honest?
There is a disclaimer at explaining, obviously, if there is a false report, that somebody could be charged with false reporting. We're not going to have as much difference than if someone calls over the phone. It's still going to go to detective. The detective's still going to do follow-up to try to, if there's any follow-up. So obviously there's always a chance of fraud when they're either calling it on the phone or doing it online. The system does have the ability to track IP addresses and things like that. So if we are getting false reporting, that we can backtrack and go for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Fenter.
So some of the items, maybe like stolen cell phones or beer runs or some of those type of deals, would you envision it in that use?
I'm glad you brought up beer runs. Because, yes, and we have had some discussions on the ability to do. We have not set the criteria yet, but probably what we're looking at is limited suspect information. The suspect is no longer at the business. Certain businesses could go online and report those cases themselves. We would still capture the crime data. We would still capture the information to go to. We could even do follow-up by, even if they have a picture of the suspect, they could still report it online, and we could always go back and get a copy of the picture. So it just really is more efficient.
That would be a great little eye app. Mm-hmm. Well,
might as well save
this online. That'd be a great little application to make up for the Apple and Droid, where you could get a picture off of camera or video or whatever, and you send it out, and it like tweeting, if you will. It just sends a picture of wanted for armed robbery to your phone 5 minutes after it happened. It's just an interesting concept for the future.
We already have that.
Who does it?
There's a firm that does that.
We already do that. The city.
How would that?
Does the city do it?
Citizen Observer, that would allow us to put information out. What you're talking about is information coming in. Now, in Citizen Observer, they can send pictures.
Yeah.
There are some convenience stores, since we're on that topic, that can actually send us their pictures. They can send us online their pictures of suspects. The only problem is we have done that in the past, is we have to go back and verify, because there was a situation where we made an arrest off of a photograph that was inadvertently the wrong person that was sent. So we have to...
And that's bad.
It's good intel, but we just have to verify it.
Yeah, okay.
And ensure that it's the person we're going after.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Page 3. Page 4. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
I have two items on page 4. First, item 5B, if we could at least take that off consent for that meeting on the 30th. And on 4B, this is the money for the Fusion Center. I understand this is money coming from an antitrust settlement that the Attorney General's office received, and part of that was for programs such as this. I would just like some clarification with the using this money for the Fusion Center. Is this going to be remodeling space in the old court building, or is it in the current police administration building? I think it's a great grant to get. I think it'll give you more space and hopefully more opportunity for other agencies to partner with you with this additional space.
Correct, Mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh. Those funds are intended to, we are looking at moving the Fusion Center over to the old court building. These monies would be utilized for the moving costs and the refabrication of some of that area, and also for an intelligence management system that would be housed out of the Fusion Center. We are currently in discussions with FBI and also the Marshals and DEA to bring some federal partners also to that facility. A lot of discussion portion of it right now. But these funds will be to for the intelligence management system, the computers, the workstations, the moving costs, the furniture, and then training for the software for the officers and civilians that work in the Fusion Center.
Mayor, I just think this is a great partnership with the Attorney General's office providing this grant to us. I think it's going to be an excellent use for our department. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Good. That's sort of an interesting concept. So using space in the old court building almost to create a true regional law enforcement op center almost type thing.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, there's
that
also,
an overstatement, or is that
no, that's exactly what we're hoping for. There's also discussions of even some of the East Valley other East Valley agencies talking about, obviously we don't want to commit anything, but there is a lot of interest in that facility. Yeah.
There's a lot of interest.
So, yeah. No, I'll have to add John here. I think he's being very careful and delicate, because we've been very careful about and utilization of space in the court building, the police department interest in kind of expanding out into that area. And I think this is going to be a really good use of the space, because as the chief is talking about, not only is moving the Fusion Center and giving them more space, but we are talking with many federal partners, to say it that way, who are also expressing an interest in co-locating or maybe moving some of their
regional
areas into a space on the east side. And we're really looking at how we can maybe look at the, I think it's the basement area of the courtroom, of the old court building, for that purpose. And we think it'd work well. A lot of the partitions and a lot of things are still in place over there. So actually the cost is minimized. But we're trying to be careful about how we utilize that space in the courtroom, because we did have some other ideas for some of the other floors, and we're just trying to manage that. But I think it'll work out well. We think there's plenty of space for that to happen based on the conversations I have with the chief. And I think we're working on kind of doing some space planning to see if we can maximize that space with not only the Fusion Center and those local partners, but, again, other federal law enforcement agencies that may be interested in coming together and joining us at that location.
Good. Okay. We will remain careful and delicate on that.
Just want to make sure we don't overcommit, or that space is the best use of the space. But I think it makes sense, actually. I think it'll work.
Okay. Thank you. Page 5. All right. The next item on the agenda is the approval of appointments to boards and committees. Just very quickly, these appointments are made to fill out some of these committees, and the majority of these appointments today are very specialized positions. We have certain positions on our boards and committees that by charter or even by state law must be filled with a certain individual or type of individual. For example, on the Judicial Advisory Board, I am recommending Phil Austin and Pete Lessar to fill two open vacancies. And for example, those two spots, Mr. Austin's spot is required to be filled with a recommendation from the State Bar of Arizona. And the State Bar sent me three names to recommend, and I chose Mr. Austin, and the other one has to be filled by a layperson, someone who is neither an attorney nor involved in the legal profession. So Mr. Lessar is that. On the Building Board of Appeal, once again, our requirement is that a contractor be included, so not a layperson could be included. So Mr. Smith, Corey Smith, was suggested for that. And then the other ones, the Kathleen Ron to the Parks and Recreation Board, and to the Self-Insurance Program Board of Trustees, Ms. Donna Feeney and Fenton Moran. So I have a motion to approve.
Second.
A second, Vice Mayor. I appreciate all those who are willing to serve. I would like to constantly ask that members of our community become involved. We never have too few applicants, or too many applicants. We always have too few applicants. We never have too many applicants. And some of these, we need to broaden the pool. Thank you, Vice Mayor. I've had trouble speaking all day today, so I appreciate you filling in that. We really need to broaden the pool, get people from all parts of the city, and also we invite anybody who wants to be involved in city government. This is a great way to be involved, and we really do rely on our advisory boards, many of who make very, very significant decisions on behalf of the council, but others who give great guidance and help us out in our work. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Do we have any reports? Okay, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder that our study session for this Thursday has been canceled, and we will be meeting on Monday, August 30th, for both the study session and council meeting. Tuesday, August 31st, there'll be a mayor's conversation with the community from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Hawthorne Elementary School. I invite everyone to be part of that as well. The following day, Wednesday, September 1st, will be an open house at Falcon Field from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Commemorative Air Force Museum, which is at 2017 North Greenfield Road, right there on the corner. So I invite the residents from the neighbors of the Falcon Field area will be invited to
participate in that open house. And then just a reminder, we'll get back on our regular schedule of council meetings after Labor Day. So our first Monday meeting in September is September 13th. I think I'm saying that right, Carla? So that'll be our first council, because of Labor Day on the 6th, that'll be our first council meeting in September. And then at this time, I'm going to let Debbie Spinner recognize one of her employees who received a significant recognition this past summer.
Thanks, Chris. Mayor and Council, if I could ask Patty Tracy to step forward from our prosecutor's office. I'd like to tell you a little bit about what Patty's done over the past year. She was just recently named the Arizona's 2010 Misdemeanor Prosecutor of the Year, which is the top misdemeanor prosecutor award in the state of Arizona. Patty is Mesa's first city or community prosecutor. This was a program established by council a few years back. It's the Action Team, which is the all coming together in our neighborhoods. The team includes representatives from police, code compliance, fire, and neighborhood services, and focuses on difficult areas in our community. The team has been focusing for the past 2 years on the Reed neighborhood, which has high calls for service to our police department. And as a result of this team's focus in the past 2 years, it has had 1,400 less calls for service than it had prior to that time. So it's been a great, great team effort in the Reed Park area. In addition to Patty's work on the action team, she's also worked on the massage parlor task force, and in the past year has obtained over 80 convictions as a result of the work of that team. She's worked with the city's tax and licensing department to enforce criminal penalties against business owners who have failed to file sales tax returns or paid delinquent taxes. In one of her cases, she was able to collect an additional $43,000 in delinquent taxes. And in addition to the prosecution work that Patty does, she does a lot of community outreach and work in the community. She's a mentor of a sixth grader at a Mesa school. She works with the United Food Bank and helps organize a bi-monthly produce drop for residents in low-income neighborhood in Mesa. In 2009, Patty teamed up with the Mesa Police Department and the Community Spirit Program to coordinate three separate holiday fundraisers in Mesa. It resulted in over 1,500 students at two of Mesa's elementary schools and 200 homebound senior citizens receiving toys, clothes, and gift cards during the holiday season. And finally, for her outstanding service to the citizens of Mesa in 2009, Patty was awarded the C.K. Luster Spirit of Giving Award, which is given to a city employee for their community service activities outside the workplace. So we are very proud to have Patty Tracy in our city prosecutor's office and as a city of Mesa employee.
And what does Patty do in her spare time?
As punishment, we drag her in front of a television camera.
I feel incredibly normal right now. I'm very unworthy. Patty, congratulations, and thank you. Thank you so very much. And, you know, the amazing thing is, as I've now passed 2 years in this office, is the overall high quality of people we have working for the city of Mesa. And, you know, Patty, you're pretty exceptional, but there are others who are pretty exceptional too, who work for our city. So thank you and congratulations. It sounds like it was an award and a recognition that was well deserved. Thank you very much. And thanks for bringing it to our attention. That's one of the great successes we like to celebrate. So congratulations and thank you. Thanks. Okay, any other business? All righty. Have a motion to adjourn from the Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Fenter. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're all are adjourned until 5:45 tonight. Thank you.